Welcome to The International View on TalkZone.com, the show that discusses the positive and negative things affecting our world. Now, here's your host, Fanta Kroma.
Welcome, beautiful people in Radio Land. You are listening to The International View on TalkZone.com. I am your host, Fanta Kroma. Today, we are going to be discussing women's political role in development, the demand for 30% representation by Liberian women. Our special guest for today's discussion is political activist, executive director, and founder of Women Alert Liberia, Vivian Nijay Innes. She has over 7 years of experience working with grassroots, nonprofits, organizations, private sector, and government, giving help to the poorest of the poor and most vulnerable group, specifically focused in the area of food security and nutrition, poverty reduction, women empowerment, youth development, administration, and banking. Presently, she is a final year student pursuing her master's in sustainable international development at Brandeis University Hello School for Social Policy and Management. You can read more about Vivian on the International View page on TalkZone.com. Welcome, Vivian, to the International View. I am very glad to have you on our show today.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I would firstly like to extend my thanks and appreciation for the invitation given me to appear on your show.
You are highly welcome.
I honestly remain grateful to TalkZone. Okay. Let me first of all start with a quote that I love so much. Mm-hmm. That was given by the former Secretary General Kofi Annan. The quote states, "There is no tools for development more effective than the empowerment of women. No policy is unlikely to raise economic productivity or to reduce and child mortality. No policy is as sure to improve nutrition and promote health, including the prevention of HIV/AIDS, and I will include Ebola virus. No other policy is powerful as increasing the chances of education for the next generation." With that being said, I will come down to my topic of the role of women in the political role of women in development. I personally feel that to improve women's role in development and increase their political participation, the current 30% representation demanded by Liberian women as a minimum threshold for their representation in public affairs must be taken seriously. Because women of Liberia represent about 50% of the population, and politics plays a major role in our everyday life. When it comes to creating law that recognizes women's work and everything, we need women in parliament who will represent us and push this law that will give us the chances to state our problems, our voices, and everything. And I see that the lack of women involvement in the political process contributes to an unfair, unbalanced system that will frustrate democracy. And it will also produce serious problems for society as a whole, because women not only representing themselves, but they are representing their family in totality. So Liberian women has played whole lot of role when it comes to development through all Liberia history. Women in Liberia make up 54% of the labor force in both formal and informal sector. If you look at the agricultural sector, for example, women are the majority of smallholder producers. And it is also projected that they produce roughly 60% of agricultural products. And they also carry out more than 80% of trailing activities in the rural area, and they are heavily involved in fishing industries. And in addition to that, what they do their daily work to fulfill their daily hustle responsibility, like taking care of their children, caring for their sick family members, and what have you. But with all of this, Nigerian women continue to be the most disadvantaged. They have overcrowded they are overcrowded in the least productive sectors. When it comes to take for example, like 90% of women are employed in informal sector of the agriculture. And guess what? They are getting the lowest wages. And with all that, there are high proportion in those informal sectors. All these things translate into exposure to diseases. Women get exploited. They get sicknesses that they have no control over that also affect their reproductive system. These women you see walk distances in the rain, the sun, with no health care facility close to them. No regular checkup. And this is something that has been like a normal thing. Between men and women in Liberia, there's a clear gender division of labor. When you're talking about cleaning, cooking, and everything is for women. Then when you come to the farming, they are high into it. And there is no one there seeking these women interest. Because if there were people that seeking our interest, let me say our because I'm a woman, if there were people in parliament seeking the interest of women, there would be policies in place that would protect them when it comes to their health, when it comes to even getting storage and everything for their crops that they have produced. But the women just use that effort. They work so hard. In the end, their gain is just little of nothing. And most of the work that it does, these are not work that are recognized even. But these are things that will help in development. Because farming is one of the things that boosts any economy when it comes to what you produce in your country. Liberia is not supposed to be a country that goes to Guinea to buy pepper. But yet, and see, this is what's happening. And also, with all of these that they are doing on their own, despite everything that they do, they still have unequal access to land. They have unequal import such as credit. They have less than 10% of credit provided to farmers when it comes to providing credit to farmers. They have less than 10%. They have poor access to seeds, fertilizer, and also poor access to information, which is very key. If this way, getting the information that, okay, this organization is giving us free seeds and what have you, giving us free fertilizer, they will be able to go there. And to be honest, I've lived in Liberia all along. I know that these women are very hardworking. They work 16 to 18 hours a day, including their household work. And with all of this that they do, their income low, as I stated earlier. So if we're talking about poverty alleviation in Liberia, even in the rural era, we need to look at laws that will be passed when it comes to owning land and everything. Because over 40% of the country relies on agricultural products for their livelihood. Mm-hmm. But yet they say we are not even encouraging it. We are not encouraging it. And looking at it, women are the highest in this field. But we are not there to encourage them. So we need people who will represent women in parliament today that will be able to give women the chance to produce more or to even live longer. Because this thing, when I say affect the reproductive system, most women in Liberia die at an early age because after doing all of this hard work, you're walking from distance to distance and there is no healthcare system, you're definitely not going to survive easily. So we need to raise attention to women issues, and I think that having the 30% pass, the law that has been proposed pass, would be something that would be good for Liberian women. And I can also argue, I am aware that there will always be argument that that this 30% quota going to be something that will reduce women potential and everything. I would say no. This 30% will raise attention for women issues in policy and in decision making. It will also change the gender nature of public of the public. It would definitely change it. It would influence people. And this will also inspire female voters to get involved politically. Because everything about politics affects us. So if we sit on the fence, definitely we are going to be, we're going to be in this for a long time. And people would argue that it will make women lazy. Making women lazy, I would tell you that I can argue any day that there is no, there haven't been any scientific research that says that the quota will make women lazy and women will improve. There are a lot of countries around. I would take Rwanda as an example. Rwanda did this, and Rwanda, after the introduction of the 30% gender equity quota, today Rwanda has gone to about 60%. And I would tell anybody that the 30%, the demand for the 30% is just a gateway to giving Liberian women a chance to be able to get involved. And this thing, it's not going to be like you're going to give it to just any woman. That's going to be a long drone. So these women will be there to represent Rwanda there. And things have changed. The politics in Rwanda has changed from locally and nationally. Everything has changed. And women have been able to increase their representation to about 60%. So I can tell you, this is the way forward for Liberia. And this is highly needed for Liberia reform process.
Okay, Vivian, thank you very much for what you just said. But we're looking into Liberia. There are a lot of factors in place also that stopping women from going forward into politics. If you look at our traditional setting, you look at how women are frowned upon, especially look into the society today. Those women that are in power, that are in authority, most times you find it difficult, like when it comes to relationships, when it comes to a lot of things. And we're talking about 30%, like 2005 election, we had like 13.5 or 13.7% women in the house. So you're looking at that amount, and do you have something in place, because you have to educate these women, and what are some of the things will be put in place? Because if you have 13% and a lot of women not willing to go into politics because of all these things happening traditionally, family wise and other things frowned upon women that are into politics, what are some of the education put in place? Are these women ready for the 30% you're talking about?
There where we come in, and this involves everyone. I got issues with our policymakers, and even those are in power right now, I will tell you for sure. If I go down to a lesson I have here for the percentage of women in public service is very low. You're talking about 30%, 13% that was in the house. That has decreased to 7%. And you know why? It increased because 13%. Not going to have voice. We are speaking about numbers. You can be having 13% and you want to pass law in a male-dominant house. Like, for example, the senators right now, we have 5 women out of 30 in total, the whole House of Senate. 30 out of 5 are women. 5 out of 30, I mean, are women. And the House of Representatives, we have 8 females out of 72. Tell me how you think no women are going to pass any law. It's a male-dominant house. There's no way. We are speaking about numbers. For you to pass any law, it will be, it will have to be voted upon. And you talk about how are these women going to be prepared. It got to be something that we need to speak out about. We got to educate our public about. We don't have to sit back and just be complacent. Because that's what I see for most women in power today in Liberia. They are in power. They are not seeking the interest of the people. They are going against the status quo. They are not seeking the interest of the poor. If women are seeking the interest of the poor and telling the people what is what, telling the poor women what is what, and seeking their interest, they will definitely be voted into. I know that we are also talking about getting this 30%, but we got a lot of work that needs to be done. Not because we got a female president. The female president is there, but there is still a lot of work that needs to be done with even all the international help that come in to promote women empowerment. If we Liberian women are in power, Liberian women are in power, in holding positions today, who stay on their feet to represent the poor people, that's not going to change. So we need to stand up for those poor people. And I'm saying this because if I say that it go against the status quo, most of Liberian women that I know that are in government, they are so proud when their relatives graduate from Harvard University, Columbia, or Yale University to congratulate them. But do they rather go after those poor people that don't even have the first thing to go to school? No. These are some of the issues that we have. So we women too, we have this issue. But in so doing, if we want to increase the number of women, because it's for the benefit for everybody, not only for men, not only for women, but for everybody, including our children, we need to get everyone involved. We need to get on our feet, not to sit back and just be proud of our children who are going to the big, big universities all around. We need to seek the interest of the poor. And we also need to get men involved. We need to get men involved because this is not just for women. Men got children who are women. So that's it.
Okay, thank you very much for making things clear. We're going to take our first break and we'll be back with more discussion on our topic.
You're listening to The International View on TalkZone.com. Here's Fanta Croma.
Welcome back, beautiful listeners. Before our break, we were discussing women's political role in development and the demand for 30% representation by Liberian women. We were having this discussion with our special guest, Vivian Nijay Innes. Vivian, before our break, we were talking about those factors. I also want to, like you said in your discussion, we have like 50% women in Liberia that voted during the election, or 50% of the population, they are women. You don't think to we women in Liberia we the cause of our own problem, because if I listened to asked somebody from election commission, and he said that there were 100 and some more women nominated during 2011 election. And you look in the house, there were just few selected and few voted in. And if we women have 50, we are 50 or 50 some more percent of the population, why can't we empower those women to get into those places we're talking about, into authority that will be able to sign bills in our favor?
Agree, Fantal. And this is why we are seeking as well. Because let me tell you, one of the things that keeping women away from politics and everything in Liberia, women feel that most young women and women feel that politics is not for them. We need to educate the public. And when I say we, those people who are in power, those people who are given a little chance to represent women, need to educate the public. You're talking about voting. This is why I said in my introduction statement, I said that the 30% going to be your gateway to encourage women voters to vote. It will also be an awareness campaign for them. Because it's kind of hard. We are not our own. We say, okay, we are our own problem. But there is a traditional thing. Even before in Liberia, women never had the right to vote. Women never had the right to vote in Liberia. So it's a process. So since we have reached to the stage where we got the right to vote, we have gotten the right to enter Parliament. Now, we are also pushing on to get this right of 30%, and from there we can move forward. So it's a process. This is the next process, and this process shouldn't be overlooked. This process has its own implications, like when it comes to development side of it. And Liberia is going through a reform process. We need women. We need women to push these laws for women. And it's only women that are going to be there to recognize the ills that they are going through and everything. So I personally feel that awareness, education is going to be key in this process. And we shouldn't just sit and say, okay, because the male dominant horse didn't pass this law, like Lately, there was a bill that was proposed by the Women Legislative Caucus. And this bill was proposed to the House of Senate, and this House of Senate passed this bill. They passed this bill, and when it went to the House of Representatives, they said that they cannot pass this bill. However, the representative said that they can't pass the bill because this would make women lazy and they won't be able to, they should get the equal right because the Constitution said that we should have, every citizen should have the same right to vote. Agree. But we are looking at people who have been marginalized. We are looking at women who were not in this process before. And we're trying to incorporate them to come in. Are we just looking at the common picture that, okay, these women will be lazy, these women will not do what they're supposed to do, we're not just going to give them a free ride? That's the lower picture you are looking at. What can we look at the bigger picture? What can we look at? What's going to come after this? If we have women to speak on behalf of women, I can tell you for sure that Liberia will move forward. Like I gave you an example, ma'am. Good example is women in the agricultural sector. Liberia is not supposed to be going to buy pepper in Guinea or haricot. What are we doing about the agricultural sector? What are we doing for women in the agricultural sector? No one is there to push this law. Now that no one is there, and that's one thing I want to clarify it. We have permanent women in the house right now. We have women who can represent us, and we have women who are well-educated and sound in the house. Well, I can tell you for sure that numbers plays a major role in everything that we do. You can have less than 7% and you expect them to push something. Don't men want to tell you, girl, we're not going to do that. We're going to push what we want to push. And the men will always be thinking about their oil bills that they want to pass. Because if you do research, you will know that women and men, they think differently when it comes to development. Why women will be thinking about having clean water? Women will be thinking about having hospital to go to. Women will be thinking about having the good education for their children. Women will be thinking about having good nutrition for their children. Men will be thinking about passing oil bills. You know what I'm talking about? This is exactly why it's happening in Liberia. So we need to understand that even though we are equal, but our thinking is different when it comes to development.
Okay. That was a good point there. If you would like to be part of our discussion, you can call 888-463-6748. 888-463-6748. Yeah, Vivian is, okay, we'll come down to the question. Why would you be demanding for 30%? Like I said before, Liberia, population, women, like, is like, 54 or 50 some more percentage of the population. Why are you demanding for 30 instead of 50?
Okay. I will tell you, quite frankly, that the 30% demand is a gateway to women getting the 50%. This is a gateway. This happened in other countries, and we are using the successful stories of those countries, like Rwanda, Sudan, and what have you. Like Rwanda, they started with that, and today, what are they hiring? They have gone wide to about 60%. Like before, I would tell you that, all right, let me come down to recently. Like recently, a group of Liberian women presented this bill that I stated earlier on the legislature. In this bill, we see 50% minimum percent of women in government in showing their participation. And what was then done, it was opposed by the House of Representatives, even though the House of Senate passed it. But if we look at other democracies, like other government or other countries, Liberia hasn't really taken much step towards, you know, promoting the fair representation based on gender equity, you know. So I would say Liberia has lessened the gap between women and men in the national government, even in decision making. And regrettably, I would tell you for sure that the policymakers have failed to realize that the greater inclusion of women into politics and a greater inclusion of women in social, economic, political life of a country is more likely to create a brighter future. They are not looking at this. This is a gateway. You can't come out and say, okay, we want 50%. I know, because they are already arguing, okay, we're not going to even give you this because this will make you people lazy and blah, blah, blah. But this is just a starting point. If you give us this, we'll be having voice. I can tell you for sure, if we may have 30%, I know they will be able to pass a lot of bills because of that 30% representation. They will be able to at least mingle with other men. But you got 7. Come on, fantastic. 7 cannot do anything. But the 30% will help. We don't want to go to 50-50. I'm saying we, because I'm included with the women who are demanding for this. We don't want to go to 50. It would be like, oh, wow. Why they just want to come and just get a big cup like that, free of charge? We're starting with 30. And I think 30 is just a fair number. The 30% would just be fair for us on that to start with.
Yeah. Another question would be, because when I grew up in Liberia, it was like a saying that the men failed Liberia. We had a lot of presidents that came, they never did anything. So when President Helen Johnson Sirleaf during the election time in 2005, I think she ran, in the early 90s, but she never Taylor or won the election. President, our former president, Charles Taylor, won the election. She came back in 2005. And after looking at all those men that got in power, they were presidents from all those times up to 2005, everybody like, okay, we need some change. And we decided to go in to elect a female president. My question to you, like, what has she done differently from those men, and that we women can boast of and think that, okay, if we have the next female president, she's going to do better? Can you just show, like, answer that? Or
okay, I will tell you for sure that I will personally say that she's a role model. She's a strong woman, because in Liberia, to get involved in politics, you need to have that tough skin. She has put us on the map. When I say us, I mean women of Liberia. She has actually encouraged us. She's a role model. I consider her someone. I may not agree with all of her policies and everything, but I can tell you for sure that she's one person who likes that thing. I want to walk in her footsteps when it comes to being in politics. I may not agree with everything that is going on right now, but she has set that example for us. But again, as you said, what has she done, or what this government has done? It boils down to the same representation. Excuse me. Because, take for example, let me go through the percentage or the number of women in public service. I started with the Senate. Let me just continue from that point. The House of Senate, we have 30 and 5 are women. We have the representatives, 8 out of 72 are women. And we have the executive cabinet ministers. We have 4 women out of 20. We have superintendents. We have 5 females out of 15. When it comes to district commissioners, we have 6 females out of 133. Just 6. City mayors, we have 23 out of 108. Panama chiefs, we have 6 out of 243. Supreme Court is the best. It's equal 2-2. We have 2 women out of 4. Sacred Court, we have 3 out of 20. So can you imagine? She has done a lot. She has put us on the map. And I think she put her in a position that we can do better. But to be honest, with all the international connection, with all the intervention that have been coming in to empower women, to increase the number of women in public service and everything, there's still work that needs to be done. Not just work, lot of work that needs to be done. Because if right now, Liberian women hold 7% in the House of Senate. When it comes to the leadership in media, I think it's like, now I think it's about 5% leadership position in the media. It's 17% in the entire government, like, you know, including the other assistant ministers and directors and what have you. So we still got a lot of work to be done. We are pushing this. We need that 30% to start off with. Then we will come, we will work hard to reach the top of 50-50 or maybe do more and pass by the Liberian men and go to 60-75.
Okay. Thank you for making things clear. We'll go for another break. We'll be back with more on our discussion on the International View.
You're listening to the International View on TalkZone.com. Here's Fanta Croma.
Welcome back, our beautiful listener in Radio Land. Before our break, we're discussing women's role in political development in Liberia and the demand for 30% of Liberian women representation in the House of Legislature. Vivian, before the break, we were talking, discussing, and I want to ask you, what are some of the causes of inequality in Liberia?
I would say the gender-based differences exist due to long-standing power imbalances, traditional practices, inadequate statutory laws like the 30% gender equity bill that we are proposing, and failure by society to enforce policies and laws that will protect women. Also, poverty, illiteracy, nepotism, corruption, marginalization, and sexual and gender-based violence are factors which have compelled women to, which have kept women under represented and on a margin of power, and on a low margin of power in society.
Okay.
Yeah, and I see that these things can really be worked on. These things can be erased from our society through increasing the number of women, political participation, also strengthening their role in development processes. This will benefit Liberia.
Okay. I was talking to somebody the other day and was talking about this 30% women pushing for 30%. And the question the person asked me was, he said, for example, in Liberia, there was open call for women to come into the police force, the army, and women declined. They never wanted to go into it. They even started begging them, making it easy for them to get into the army, to apply to get into the army, to make that like equal in the army, equal gender or something in the army, the police. And when he said it, myself, I looked there and I'm like, that's true. And he said, now we're in the army in Liberia, you look in the army, they're looking for women with bachelor degrees, masters and things. And we have a lot of them wasting in Liberia. How many of those women really making the effort to join the army? Why are we not joining the army? Why are we not joining the police to help? Because those are places that you enforce the law, right?
Exactly.
And you're looking at those places. Women not going, but yet and still we still crying all around that, oh, we've been locked down upon. They're doing this to us. Men doing this to us. Now it's open. The army is open. They're saying, women, you people come. We need you. We saying no. Police open. Y'all come. We need y'all. We saying no. So why? Why the problem? Why are we not making effort in those areas?
Well, I would say that women have made effort in our area. The number may not be huge, but as compared to before, women have made a lot of effort because I know that under the the UN law, there was this 1321 or something about the UN that incorporated most women into the police force. And if you look at it from before and comparing to now, the number has increased. To be quite frankly, the number has increased. But again, I will always say that we need to work hard. There is still a lot of work that needs to be done, still a lot of awareness that needs to go on when it comes to encouraging women in those sectors. And also maybe we need to also take into consideration how are these applications going around? How are they getting to the women? Who are doing the awareness? We now need to stay on our feet that are pushing for this 30% representation to start getting women on their feet and saying that you can join the police, you will get this benefit. What are the benefits? You got women who are 90% who are traders, who producing food, and who are farmers. They are not getting any benefits. That's why we need to push this law so that women can gain, not just being part of the police. They can join the police, but what are the wages? Are they going to just join the police and they can't even buy uniform straight with their money that they get? They can't even care for their family. These are things that we need to consider. And the only way forward is that getting women in the house that will be able to push these laws, that will be able to say, okay, we increase the police force salary to so and so amount. I'm not saying that the men that are there, they are not human beings or what they are getting that much. But again, I can tell you for sure, if you look at the total labor force in Liberia, when you compare the salary and everything, in every sector, men will always make higher than women. So how is carrying on this campaign? Those are things that we need to take into consideration, not to just say that women are sitting here, they really don't want to be a part of it. Women, I know, have joined the police force, and we still need to encourage more to go there. But how are we going to do this if we don't even have laws in Liberia that are protecting women? We need to have social policies that will protect women. Because women are, I can tell you for sure, they say if you have a woman is the backbone for men. A woman is also the backbone for a nation. I can tell you that for sure.
Okay. That's true. Another thing I would like for us to talk on, and it has to do with the first female president of the Republic of Liberia, enforcing law. Because when she came into power in 2005, one thing, and that is still playing on my mind up to today's date, is that she said, I'm going to fight corruption to the 40th.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, I have noticed over two terms, like she's in her second term now. And since then, corruption in Liberia, I can say is like her government has like high rate of corruption in Liberia. And something she said during her inauguration in 2005, that she was going to make sure that corruption would be fight to the 40th. But
yes.
I'm seeing in the Republic of Liberia, she's taking somebody, for example, where would be to a minister, would be to a Ministry of Public Works. He's corrupt. He's accused of corruption, or he did something there, and she takes him from there and take him to a Ministry of Finance. And if the person, another person, Ministry of Finance does something wrong or steal the country money, she takes the person from there and send them to Ministry of Health. So my question is, because if we want to fight for things, we should have good examples. We should have people, women that came into power and did something, not under the president. We're looking at the senator for Bon County, Senator Jura Howard Taylor for Bon County. These are people we put into power. We felt that they would make difference. They would do something. I'm not saying I really don't know much about Jua Howard Taylor in Bone County, but
yeah.
I do not really know if she had done anything like extra that those men that were in power never did, or she did something. I'm seeing on Facebook, on social media from people, they are all complaining about all these women in those powers. And
yeah.
You can't be fighting. We have to be real. You cannot be fighting for 30% of something and the 13% or even the 7% we have there, they're not showing any extra thing. Like, they're not doing anything that people will look upon, because now if you go into the house, you're fighting for 30%. What are some of the things you're going to put up front that you're going to tell the house that, okay, these are what these women did, or these are the things they're doing, that the men will look into and say, yes, okay, I think when we put our women, we get in 30%, they will do more in our country. Look at the president, for example. So, I want you to talk on there, like, say something.
If we're looking at the president, we are talking about one woman, and we are talking about women. And Fanta, I will go back to the numbers. Mm-hmm. Numbers play a major, major role. We're talking about, let me come to the corruption issue.
Mm-hmm.
The corruption issue you talk about, the president taking one person from one point to another, I will tell you quite frankly, I don't agree with everything that is going on in Liberia, but the president is just one person. Why are these people being passed when they go for confirmation? Because those we have representing us are not efficient. They are not. You know what it means to be in the House of Parliament? You have that power to stop. And that's why we need women that are feeling all these things that happen in Liberia. Women are going through the hardship of not having good hospitals and everything. Women are going through the hardship of their children getting sick because no clean running water to pass this bill, because you got men there who are only thinking about passing oil bill. Fanta, we're talking about numbers. And if you tell me that President Salive is taking people from one point to another, I would say, oh, yes, she's doing that. I agree with you. But when it gets to the House of Senate and representatives, what are they doing? Are they ready justifying anything to say, okay, we are going to look into, you know, these people credentials and see what they have done or what they would do? No. In the past, they just pass people because the president said, I need you pass. So who are you? So why are you representing us?
Okay.
Why are you representing us?
So I want... go ahead.
So it's not like the president is... The president, I'm not saying that she's doing the right thing, but again, we have these people who are representing us. They should be in our interest. If you are not in the interest of the poor people or the common people, then who are you? Then why are we having you in the first place if you cannot represent our interest? That's my point.
Yeah, my point. Yeah, we come back because we own the house. We own the house. I agree. A lot of bills are not being passed in the house. But my problem is with a president who is the first example, who is the first step, who is the role model that people are going to look upon to say yes. The justice minister, it said the justice minister is elected by the president, right?
Yes, she's elected.
Yeah. Okay. If you came into power and you said that, I am going to make sure I'm going to fight corruption. And we're hearing things in Liberia. And it's like the last time she sent bill around telling the house to make sure that they give her power, for her to take over the country because we're living in a state of emergency with the Ebola situation. She needs power. You can pass that bill. You begging those people to give you the power. You asking for that power you deserve as a president. But why aren't you asking for the same power as a president to make sure that there's a commission or anti-corruption bureau set to fight against corruption? And I guess if you pass that bill, because look, for example, in America, right? President Obama, when he passed certain bill to the House and they're not passing the bill, he comes out and explain I sent this bill to help people. I sent this bill to do this, but I'm not the fault here. It's the House. I have never heard President Sally one day come from her executive mansion or had a press briefing to tell the Liberian people, yes, I made this promise to fight corruption, but the House not giving me the chance to fight corruption. Then it'd be left for the Liberian people to say, yes, we're going to take these people. We'll take them out to put the rightful people there. We're not hearing anything like that. But to pass the oil bill, we hear that envelope are being sent around in the House of legislature to sign that bill. But you got taxpayer money being consumed by people and they're working free. Two terms you have had, or you in your second term now. There is not one person, I don't know, maybe I'm mistaken, but there is not one person I have heard in Liberia that was charged or allegedly accused for corruption, and they were taken to the justice ministry or to the law due process and have come to setting a conclusion or setting a final saying. Nothing at all. So it's just like, I'm saying it because we should be real to ourselves. If we're passing something, we're begging for something, there's some changes we should be showing something. Because, for example, let's say you went into Nimba County. You asked Nimbadians for a piece of land. Nimbadian gave you half lakh. And then you're asking them to say, okay, you gave me one half lakh. I need a whole acre. You think you should have something to show to the Nimbadians that, okay, you gave me half lakh. You look there. I finished building the house. I'm building estate. But the estate, the plan I have cannot take half lakh. You gave me 1 lakh. Is there something that we Liberian women, not just the house, all over that we can boast about, that when we go to the house, they're going to agree to give us that 30% we asking for?
That's why I would take it back to my introduction. When I came in first, I said that there are a lot of women in Liberia that I can tell you for sure that are going against the status quo. And for me, I would say this clearly. Even our president, you talk about, she's a woman, but I know she would say she has fought for women empowerment. She has done some, but I would tell you for sure that she's not pushing it to the extent that it should go, knowing that the benefits are so much. Because you have a female president and the numbers of women that are representing are just so low like that, it shows a sign that you don't have interest in that. Because the numbers are even decreasing. The first one was higher, but now it dropped. Even up to July, the number of people in, the number of women in the executives, like the ministers, it was like 6. Now it has decreased. I know you want to see something that you're going to show, but Fanta again, I will tell you, we are looking at a bigger picture. You cannot say because those women who are there now are not doing these things. They have gone against the status quo. I can tell you that for sure. Women in government today, they're only thinking about who, one of their daughters who not graduated, will put it in newspaper, graduated from Harvard University, or their close friend, you will put it in newspaper. We are looking at those people. When I say we are, I'm talking about those who are also thinking like the way I'm thinking. We are looking at people in the rural era, who are poor, who are suffering. We have them at heart. And this is coming up because this is like a new intervention. Like for me, I have interest in working with poor people, especially the rural era. I have interest working with women in agriculture sector. And this is a new intervention that we need to embrace. Because if we have people there who are not doing it, that doesn't mean it can work. It can work. Okay. It is possible it can work. Okay. So we need to stand up. When I say we, those who are who have having the same thinking like me, we can work together to improve our country. Because we will not sit and say, because this government, we have a female president. We are talking about one female president and just feel we can condemn them. Just feel. Okay. And those people are not doing what they're supposed to do. And also, I take it back to the voters. That's why I say there's a lot of things that need to be done. We need to sensitize our voters from that. We need to. There's a need for that. Because we need to make people to understand. If you are voting for somebody, you should know what this person has done. And there where the education part comes in. I will always stress on the education part. We need to do awareness. We need to educate people. We cannot say this thing can be done because the people are not doing it. We can move forward. It is possible.
Okay. I think we have a caller online. Joseph, welcome to the International View. Joseph, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Been waiting.
Okay. Welcome, sorry. Welcome to the International View. We're looking at the time. We just give you like 2 minutes to give your comment or question.
Okay, I just wanted to make a comment on the request for 30% in the House. I think it's just unrealistic on the part of women to request such a thing. We have women in the House, like the likes of Hajja Sayoum, Mary Kawa, Josephine Francis, Mona Peno, Joa Howard Taylor, Clarice Jah, Numbri Kanga, Lawrence. These are people, you know, in the House. They've been there for years. What are some of the bills they have proposed? And I understand that Vivian is talking about numbers. The more numbers, the better bills. But I don't think this is realistic to the women. The few that there, if you put a maternity bill or healthcare bill forward, I know these guys are there to eat money, but realistically, they will vote for it if it is a realistic bill. And it is in the interest of the people. First of all, the women are not in the interest of their, you know, their own healthcare or their own fellow women. Everybody just there to get what they can get. And academically, they are not up to the task. These women been there for years. Not one of them has come up for complete bill.
Okay.
There are a lot of other sectors they can go into, but they don't want to go into the army. They don't want to go into the police.
Okay. Thank you, Joseph. We're out of time now. Vivian, can you just talk on 1 minute on that and just give us your final word as we close our program?
Okay. I agree with Joseph on some aspect that he stated, but in totality that the bill is not necessary. I mean, it's just another male who just feel that this is something that we will not allow and this is just not right. But my question to Joseph is, are you looking at the bigger picture or are you just looking at because you have few women in Parliament today who you think has been, who told you that I didn't get my hands on document, but I cannot tell you that all those women have been in the House of Parliament having passing a bill. That would be unfair to them. We have some women, we have Josephine Francis, we have Joel Howard Taylor who have come up with a lot of proposed bills, and I can tell you that it was staying down. And the thing is, we need to look at the bigger picture. Let's look at the successful stories of other countries. Take, for example, Rwanda today. They are doing really good. They are doing good, and Rwanda went through war like us. And they are doing good because of this thing, gender equity quota. It helped a lot. This is just a beginning. This is a gateway for us. So we need to give this a chance. And I can argue with anybody. You cannot tell me that this is going to make Liberian women lazy. I can argue that there is no record that a gender quota that was passed has led to women being lazy and it just made them to be lazy and just went into power for free. No. There are impacts. Huh? There are impacts. So
okay.
I think we need to consider this, and we need to all join this fight to push this.
That's true. With that being said, that's true because myself, I look into Liberia. That's why all the cries, but we those women, they are dumb. Things in their weak way possible, things that we can also boast of. So thank you, Vivian, very much for having you on the International View. And we all going to join you, Liberian women, in this fight for 30% representation of Liberian women in the House of Legislature. Thank you very much for having you on my show today.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, good listeners in Radio Land. Thank you for being on the International View today. This is all we have time for today. Join us next week on the International View on TalkZone.com for more topic of discussion. Thank you very much.